Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 3, A Continuing Look at the 9-10-Year Change and the Fourfold Human Being. In essence, the child in the first grade, second grade, and the beginning of third grade is strongly a twofold being. The physical and the etheric bodies are deeply entwined. The etheric body is rapidly incorporating into the physical body. It no longer needs to be as active in the forming of the organs and the placing of the organs. And as Steiner tells us, with every step that the etheric body takes in incorporation, with every step that the etheric takes in completing one or another of its formative activities, its energy, its essence, is released for memory. So this is why throughout the grade school, and especially in the primary grades, we are working to help the children develop their memory, because now we have the vehicle, the etheric forces, on which that memory can rest. If we don't develop memory, those etheric forces grow flaccid, like muscles that are undeveloped. You know, use it or lose it. And look at the memories of people today. Look at your own memory. You're taking notes now, right? Can't you remember 15 minutes of what I'm saying to you? I mean, okay, never mind. I can't always remember what I just said either. But nonetheless, you see that our own education did not sufficiently put those etheric forces at our disposal. So hopefully we've done that in grades 1 and 2. We've allowed the etheric body to grow strong, and we've, especially through our use of rhythm, repetition, predictability, all of these things in the classroom, We've really, as it were, developed the musculature of that etheric body, made it vital, given those life forces, continuing life, but now that life streams through our precognitive self. And this is where the healthy, resilient etheric body rests. And we need it there, because come third grade, the astral forces now stream towards us with great velocity and great power. And only a resilient etheric body is able to keep those astral forces in their right place. And this battle between the astral forces and the etheric body is what we constitute as the 9-10-year change. And as I said in the third grade lectures, which I hope many of you, if not all of you, have heard, that it's not like this is an ongoing battle. It has its fits and starts. Because the astral body is of the nature of the air, whereas the etheric body is of the nature of water, we can imagine it like breezes passing over water, sometimes stirring waves, sometimes tracing only the most delicate ripples, sometimes creating tremendous storm that raises the level of the water rapidly, at other times bringing a cold, icy quality, hardening and fixing those watery forces. So it's something that has many, many perspectives, many aspects, many modulations. But the meeting of the astral, the meeting of the etheric, this is one of the most important moments in a human life, grossly underestimated and barely understood by mainstream psychology and science, though Piaget saw qualities of it in his study of concrete operational thinking. And the Gazelle Institute certainly points to this age as well. But on the whole, it's something that passes by, misunderstood and unheralded, except that teachers say this or that child has suddenly grown more difficult. He has emotional problems or big learning issues are arising. They see the changes, but it's always seen as a negative. We could say it's like the historian Peter DeVries once said, why is it whenever God shows his hand in history, it's always the back of his hand? That we might say God is passing through the classroom. You know, God or the gods, as Steiner would say, are actively working in this battle, this conflict, these treaties signed and broken again and again by the astral body. The gods are there, but so often only the most negative aspect of their being is seen. Now, as things settle down, and as the astral body begins to find an entente cordiale, a separate peace in a way, with the etheric body, as the etheric body shows its strength, its stability, its protective quality, what happens then is that the ups and downs of health and well-being, which you will see if you look at last year's roll book, and you'll see again in the first half of this year, even right up to Easter time, you will see a lot of children are absent. Even if they're not contracting childhood illnesses anymore, other things are coming to take their place. Difficulties with breathing, sometimes going as far as asthma. Also, chronic issues, especially with the ears, are showing up more and more. But in any case, children are more vulnerable now because the astral body, with its powerful catabolic forces, is again and again making inroads in their nature. But as a kind of stability is attained, early in fourth grade and following on through the year, we see this heralded in the remarkable slowing down of the child's heartbeat, so that the adult rhythm of 4-1, four beats of the heart to every one breath, is attained by the fourth grader. This tells us that the circulatory respiratory system is now reaching adult-like maturity. Very remarkable to think about that in these little fourth graders, you have, number one, the pretty much adult-like maturity of the sensory system, that the children's eyes, ears, sense of smell, sense of taste are basically where they will be and remain for a number of years to come. And now the rhythmical and circulatory system are reaching that adult level too. Though we could say the heart in and of itself is not yet really the child's heart. It's the last part of the model body, which I also discussed at length in the third grade lectures. In that model body, the heart still persists, and that doesn't change fully until adolescence. So this is a very important aspect there as well. But basically, once the heartbeat is 4-1 in relationship to the breath, about 72 beats to 18 breaths, then we know the astral body is going to start leaving the child alone. It certainly will be there, but it's not going to be as onerous, as difficult, a quality in the child's life. And this is one reason that in working with Norse mythology, we're giving the children very strong rhythms. But they're not necessarily the nice iambic and dactylic rhythms of the first three grades. There's something stronger, something more irregular about them, as though we are challenging the children to come and find the harmony in all of this. So this is the last year in which strong rhythms are really appropriate in the children's recitation and the children's movements to that recitation. And indeed, when we come to grade 5, where blank verse starts to appear in epics like the Iliad and the Odyssey, we see something much more at rest, much more at peace. In many ways, fourth graders are older than fifth graders. There's something of the future, of which I also spoke in grade 3, the future really resides in the fourth grader. They are living in something that is years beyond their grasp, but nonetheless it is there. Like the god Odin, whom they will meet in Norse mythology, they are looking with clarity into the future and trying to act in accordance with that. So this is a year where you can get perhaps deeper insights into what your students will be like when they're grown up than you can in grade 5, or even in grade 6, 7, 8, where you start to feel, oh yeah, you know, I can see where they're going. Grade 4 is, to use that technical term again, barometrically more accurate. It's a more accurate instrument of the future as the heart and the lungs begin to harmonize, as the circulation, the flow of fluid in the body, and the respiration, the flow of air through the body, as these forces come into a more harmonious relationship with one another. And here again, there's that fourfoldness, 4-to-1, that important proportion. Then we see that living so strongly in the child. So this is the drama being played out before us. The etheric forces, which are anabolic, upbuilding, health-giving, sleeping forces, forces that are happiest when they are at rest, versus the astral forces in this corner, the astral forces, which are catabolic, destructive of health, destructive of everything, in fact. But there again, we'd never be able to digest our food. We'd never be able to cast off dead cells and aspects of our nature, which are no longer appropriate, without the astral body's catabolic activity, which are forces that delight in change, variation, unpredictability, which are forces that are very awake. What we're trying to do is to bring the sleeping and waking forces into a relationship with one another that gives the child a dream-like consciousness. So this is really what's appropriate in fourth grade. The children want to keep waking up, and you want to keep helping them to dream. There are those children who want to keep sleeping and not leaving the comfort of childhood, and you want to make them more awake to the point of the dream. So this is a very, very beautiful picture that we want to hold before ourselves. Have I helped the children today go into a state of dream? It's a wakeful dream. It's an active dream. It's the dream that gave forth such great mythologies as the one we study this year, the Norse mythology. It's the dream that lives in the consciousness of the animal all the time. And this is why zoology can be such an amicable study this year. Why children love animals so profoundly at this time, because this is where their consciousness should be as well. Not just understanding the animal from outside, but understanding their own consciousness through looking at and studying the animal world. So we'll go on to see more about this interaction of the etheric and the astral bodies at this time.